Is this being recorded?
Yeah.
But it's okay for us to say it now.
Yeah, I mean, I'll decide what to keep, what to leave.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, right? And my career. If this gets leaked, I can never go back to Pakistan, like, ever.
You've tuned into another episode of My Sarwa Story, brought to you by Sarwa Talks. The show helps you learn the financial habits, hacks, and attitudes of people in the Middle East to help you better manage your financial well-being.
I was more happy about getting my U.S. visa than getting my master's degree. It's the only time I lied to immigration. They're like, sir, how long are you here for? 2 weeks, forever.
Hi, my name is Salman Qureshi, and I was just on My Sarwa Story. Do check it out, because we were discussing finances, especially from the perspective of people with fluctuating income sometimes. And one of the key lessons we shared was about starting to save early and consistently. So watch it and let us know what you think.
Salman, welcome on My Sarwa Story.
Thank you for having me.
What's your money up to these days?
It's up to hopefully growing right now. Just got to check it and see where we're at right now. But
where is it parked?
Some of it is in crypto.
Okay.
And that's why I'm a little nervous right now.
Okay.
And
how often do you check?
When I first started, I would check every day. And then I realized, why am I doing this?
You know that's an addiction, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And I think the apps make it so easy to check as well. So it's nice to just go this. And I suppose, depending on your what you're intending to do, some people would want to check it every day. But mine was long term, so I don't know why I kept checking it every day.
Do you top up the money that you have in crypto?
I do. So I have now I save every month. So anything that comes in, there's an actual savings plan now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have crypto and one part of the plan.
Yes.
What else are your money up to?
I keep a little bit of cash that's in the minimum savings account, and then I park some of it in a little bit of stocks as well. Yeah, mostly it used to be in stocks, but when I say stocks, I mean ETFs, and very safe, nothing I have to check too often. I kind of want to keep money for the long term. Crypto is fairly new for me.
Okay.
Yes.
Why'd you decide to put your money in crypto?
Because I just listen to everybody. And no, okay. I think it's quite exciting, to be honest. I did read up as much as I could, as anyone can, I guess, on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an exciting place. And I think in any investment portfolio of yours, there has to be a certain amount of risk that you can take.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided, you know.
Approximately what portion of that would you think is worth the risk of crypto?
Oh, I think it depends people to people. So I'm older. I won't disclose my age.
Okay.
Here, but no, I just turned 40 in July, right? So my
birthday.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's like way past.
It's been
your
a
birthday.
While. Yeah.
I retract that.
I'm over the sadness of being past into my 40s now. But earlier, if I would invest, I'd probably invest a larger amount and go. If I lose it, it's fine. Now I'm a little bit like, oh my god, this is my retirement fund, and it's very close to that, right. So mm-hmm. I've reduced the risk amount. I'd say about 20-30%. No.
Oh wow.
It's still quite high.
Yeah. That's quite high.
But I'm taking a short-term gamble on it.
Okay,
yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
You have a family, right?
I do.
Married with children.
One child.
One child,
yes.
Okay. How does budgeting and planning for that child's future play
It's a big
into...
part. I think it's what matured me eventually.
Okay.
Yeah, I was very, I'm a spender, right? So I like...
I'm a spender.
Yes, right? If they made Legally Blonde again, but for like a male guy, I'd be the dude.
Okay.
I'd be the dude that should play it, because I find ways to spend. And so that's been always hard. And I think the kid made me go, oh my God, I gotta make sure he's got a future that I can add some stability to. And yeah.
Got that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very surprised you didn't say your money's in property, because being from, you know, this part of the world,
yeah.
My parents taught me invest somewhere safe, invest in property.
Yeah. I don't know why. I think it's because every few years I had a different plan about how long I might be here. And so because of that, I kept going, do I want something that's so, in my mind, property is always very tangible. And I didn't, for some reason, I didn't look at it as investment. I always thought.
What did being in Dubai have to do with investing in a property?
In here. Oh, anywhere.
In general.
I'm a bit of a nomad that way. So I've never lived in my home country, and I have less and less there to go back to.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt maybe I might move from here. So do I want to invest property here, like buy something here? And I kept having different plans about where I wanted to go. So mm-hmm. I always put it off that maybe once I go somewhere that I call home. So culturally for me, that was
so
important.
You're thinking of a property as
for
an,
myself.
As
yeah,
a place
yeah.
you would live in, not necessarily as part of an investment.
Or even if it's an investment, I just wanted to be in the place where I've invested the property money in for some reason.
So it's more of a toy, more of like, you know, this is mine to play with and live in and all that. That happens to appreciate in value over time.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Eventually, maybe sell it off or something if needed. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. If it...
Now, I know that you are a comedian and that you effectively are a freelancer.
Yep.
So talk to me about how do you plan when you have a fluctuating and variable income as opposed to, you know, being on someone's payroll and knowing exactly X is coming in your bank account every single month.
I think as people, more and more people get into the whole flexible freelancer thing, I started off when I was still quite new here and I didn't have a lot of guidance. So I was quite bad at it. And
were you always a freelancer?
I have been for about 8-9 years now.
Okay.
So yeah, it's been almost a decade. I did take a job in between once for a little bit and then went back. So about 10 years now, yeah.
You prefer the volatility. Doing what you love.
I think it's just, I'm just used to it now. No, okay. There are nights where I come from a banking background as well.
Okay.
So there are nights where I lay in bed and go, I could have been receiving my annual bonus right now. Right?
Yeah.
So instead, your question about how to manage it, it is very tricky, especially in the beginning. You have to be super strict about it. I wasn't at the start, so I would come in and pay expenses and whatever else I wanted. And I had to go, this amount has to go in to savings immediately. You start off small because of the fluctuation. But steady, you know, wins the race rather than just going, oh, I'll put 10 this month and then nothing next month. And then you're like, what's going on? Right?
So was it always manageable or did you learn how to manage a variable income?
Learn how to manage, yeah. I was terrible at it. I was terrible at it with a fixed income. So I was bad with money in general.
Okay.
So a lot of it was like, okay, I need to, even though I did my master's in business and you know, was exposed to the idea of investment and everything.
But you didn't want your own Excel sheet and your own budget.
You sit down with me, I'll give you great advice.
So question, for a married man, I mean, anyone who's married in a relationship, I'm assuming has conversations around how to plan for the expenses of a household.
Yeah.
Between you and your wife, are you both spenders?
Yes.
Oh.
I think my wife's worse than I am, actually. Yeah, there are times when I see her. I've stopped looking at her stuff because I'm like, I don't want to know.
Okay. Do you guys have like a joint statement, joint bank account?
No, she has her money and my money is our money. So we I think culturally it just is that. And I've always been fine. Like I was the one that initiated that. But she'll throw in something if she wants or a little pool or something here and there. She has started becoming better about saving as well though.
Mm-hmm.
So this pandemic really made us wake up and go.
What's her money up to?
I know her money is only in savings right now. So she's very scared about.
So meaning cash in the bank.
Cash in the bank, yeah. Okay. And some of it in a savings account are earning a little bit and most of it just.
Well, I wonder if that little bit of percentage is actually outbeating inflation. Things are getting expensive here.
I'm pretty sure it's not, right? So, but I think because she's just started, I told her get comfortable with, and educate your own self and then I, you know, we can advise you on stuff and everything, but just get to a point where you're like, okay, I can try something now.
So how do you have that conversation with your spouse? Is it difficult?
No, I think at the start it was in the beginning because I don't know. I think it was a cultural thing. I just assumed I'm the guy and I'm in charge of the money and I better make it happen, right? And as time went by, I was like, especially with our lifestyle, I had to go, look, there are fluctuations and stuff and times change and things happen.
Mm-hmm.
The pandemic was a big one, but prior to that, things do happen, right? Summer is Dubai seasonal in some sense with summer or whatever. And
especially when it comes to the field of entertainment, right?
Yeah. She's an artist as well.
Oh, I was referring to you. Oh, you being a comedian.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess. What about that, though?
So in the summer, there's just less going on in Dubai. So, you know, number of shows and gigs and stuff like that, I assume would decrease.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, so summer's kind of slower in general, just like most things here. Mm-hmm. Ramadan's another factor in this country.
Yeah.
So a lot of shows die down. They especially don't want comics at iftars.
Really?
Yeah, they prefer food. Like,
well, fair. I mean, I can go for some giggles along with my steak. Yeah. Why not?
So you would, right?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, totally. I think I need to pitch that to clients. I think some people want to do it.
Host your own iftar comedy night.
Maybe, yeah.
How about that?
I've actually never thought of it.
There you go then.
Yeah, I could.
I'll take a commission for that idea.
All right. Well, yeah, that's an idea. But eventually, Sarah and I, we got better about talking and planning. So especially, again, the kid made us go. You know, prior to that, life was easy. Kids, oh my God. Like, you know, kids
who's,
really.
Sorry, what's your boy's name?
Zion.
Yeah.
I love him.
Whose responsibility is he financially?
Mine.
Okay.
Well, no, ours. But I think that's where it came together and the conversations became easier because we were both like,
we have a liability.
Yeah.
On our balance sheet.
And it drains you. Wow, suddenly this is a leak we found in our life. So no, but just being, you know, just loving him and making sure we take care of him. So our conversations start happening more clear about finance as well.
Yeah. And when, you know, before you had your boy, when you went from having a corporate career to deciding, you know what, I'm going to go about the freelance life.
Life was so easy.
But how do you communicate that to your parents? Because I'm sure, you know.
Culturally?
Culturally, Asian parents would say, no, income, stability, is a priority.
Yep. That was, okay, so my parents are very sweet people though, right?
Okay.
So culturally, it was more the extended family kind of concerned.
Like, what would the uncle say?
Yeah, a little bit of that. And what are you going to do? And I think they were quite supportive to some extent. But in the back of their mind, it was still like, how will you be okay? How is that going to work? So my dad, for the longest of time, for the first 5 years, all our conversations, he'd always bring up someone. Listen, you know, I was talking to Uncle this, and he told me there's this job. If you want, I'll talk to him about it. So he'd bring stuff up like that constantly. Mm-hmm. And eventually he saw a show, and he went, okay, this is what you do, and you are earning off it. Fine. So there was acceptance.
Got that. And how do you manage periods of downtime?
It's interesting. I think in terms of financially.
Like what happened during COVID, for example? Yeah.
Oh.
Do you just kind of plan in advance knowing there's downtime? Like
now I do. So in the early years, I didn't, right? And I'm really stupid that way. So every year I'd be like, whoa, my God, my income's down again. Until a couple of years, I was like, okay, there are cycles and I've recognized where the cycles are. And so you plan accordingly and plan for it. But something as shocking as what happened last year, there was no plan. And I think, but you know, I know a lot of people went through a hard time. I think for me, the really good thing was I woke up and went, I gotta focus on the saving element much more, harder.
Buffer for a rainy day.
Yeah, to buffer for a typhoon in this
day.
Yeah, rainy days I was getting okay with.
True.
This cycle thing, I was like,
Hurricane Ida.
Yeah.
So, I have a question. let's say a hurricane hits, Hurricane Ida hits, and you're like, okay, the thing that I'm doing that gives me this particular income, which is going and doing stand-up gigs and live events, is no longer available as an option.
Yeah.
Do you use this as an opportunity to innovate and try to, you know, hone your craft in a different way?
I did. We in this case particularly, we tried some stuff online and obviously, you know, like most other businesses. I think also just diversifying not just my savings but my income stuff. So I did start looking around at not just because my comedy had stopped, but what else could I be doing long term anyway? I've started like a little online store and I'm working on a certain kind of product for it.
So unrelated to comedy at all?
Unrelated at all. Okay. Well, some of it is related because some of it is merchandising and seeing what other streams of income through my comedy I could create. But some of it I was just like, let me just look at a completely different thing as well and see whether I can grow that.
Would you sell online?
I haven't finalized that. I don't want to talk about stuff.
But it's self mode.
There are two things that I'm looking at. So that's why I'm just still. What I was trying to set up right now is the store and the product supply and everything. And I think, so I'm experimenting with 2-3 different products that I'm passionate about. But then I've got to finalize on one, and that's the hard bit. And I think because comedy's kicked off again, I'm now balancing two things. So it's up in the air.
Are you losing interest in it?
No, I haven't actually. Okay. I'm really, I'm old. Yeah, I'm on the older side, but I really...
40's not old, Salman. Age is a mindset.
You have no idea. Have you sat with a teenager? Oh my God, they look at you like you're old. But yeah, I feel young. Mm-hmm. And I'm into tech, and this whole digital platform and e-commerce and everything is quite exciting to me. So I'm definitely like, you know, it's a couple of things I will look at.
Interesting. Yeah. And I know that a lot of what you do as kind of supplementary applications of your comedy stage skill sets are corporate training and helping people with their own stage presence and whatnot.
Yeah.
Would you ever think of creating a course or some kind of a digital delivery to help people with that? And then that would be a different income.
I had thought about that. I haven't been satisfied with something I want to do. And the problem is, the one problem with everyone going digital is if it's a comedy course, people like legends like Steve Martin have put out a course now. And I'm kind of like, ooh, if I put something out now, it's got to have some real value to stand out from it, as opposed to just going the basics and this is what you do. So that's kind of held me back a little bit of what to put out. But you're right. It's something else I've considered doing as well.
Interesting. What would be one of the key lessons learned professionally being on stage that you can share with people?
About life?
Yeah, like a learning. Just having spent so many years on stage doing what you're doing.
Yeah, there are two. One, because I do a lot of live events, you have to get used to things being temporary, right? So I get a lot of adulation. There are times when you walk a success, right? So you're out, you do a great show, people laugh, you walk out like you are the man.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You own that.
Yeah. You want a autograph? Let's do it. There are other nights when you're like, where's the back door? I need to get out of here. I'm so embarrassed about how bad I did. I just want to get out. So I think life is like that, success and failure, and accepting the failure bits and going, it's going to change every so often. So when my downtime, like this failure happens, I just remind myself, look, there have been good times as well, and they'll come back too. So I think that's been a big one for me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And what would be your number one financial planning learning and lesson learned to share?
If you're young, start now. All right. That's something one of my uncles told me. He's passed away now, but a very close one to me. And he told me this in my early 20s. And I was like, sure. Heard you. Noted.
I'm spending it anyway. Yeah. I know. I've been there.
So I know. Yeah. But I think also, regardless of age, do it, right? So you got to have a regular fixed thing that you just put through. It's got to become habit. Because even for people who are savers naturally, it's easy. If you're a spender, you got to find a way to... just have it taken away from you and put
somewhere. A direct transfer from your bank.
Yeah, because otherwise I'll find ways to spend it, right?
Yeah.
Like I unnegotiate with people. Like if someone's like, here, I'll throw something in for you. I'll be like, no, let me pay for the extra thing.
Let me get you the coffee.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So because I'm like that, I think for me it was like, it literally didn't see it, it's gone.
Right? Yeah.
But if it's gone into saving, good for my future self.
Yeah. Someone, I read this thing once that someone said, pay yourself first.
Yes.
So the minute your income comes into your bank account, save.
You know, and I was around when the internet started, so I read that early in my life. Very.
But still?
No. Apparently, I thought paying myself was paying myself with, like, stuff.
Items.
Yeah, items. Yeah.
Unfortunately, me too. But let's hope people listening to this.
I think so. I think, honestly, I think everyone can to some extent understand finance. Stop being afraid of it, right? So my early self was a bit of a denial as well. Mm-hmm. I was very lucky to be in positions where I had great income in some of the jobs I did. And so it was easy to go, I've got a high income. It's easy to tell yourself that and not really face your finances. I think sitting down and just being honest and going, this is where I am, this is what's happening, and see it every day like you would anything else, is something very important, which I didn't
learn. That sounds like weight management for me. Yeah. Know the number on your scale.
Kind of, right? Yeah. You got to face the thing you fear. And I think culturally for me, my parents were a bit like that. And luckily for them, they didn't live in this crazy world where inflation kept the cycles were more stable, I think so, at least in the 80s, 90s in the Middle East here. So they didn't have to have harsh lessons to during that time. But we live in a very dynamic kind of situation now. So I think people should face it, yeah.
Invest early. Know what your money's up to.
Talk about your money. Yeah. Talk about your money. Sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Salman, thank you for coming on the show.
No, my pleasure. Thank you guys for having me. I hope this inspires someone to save.
Yeah. Hopefully. Thank you. Great.
Thank you.
Great.
My Sedwa story is brought to you by Sedwa. Visit sedwa.co and download our app to invest or trade today. Sedwa. The views expressed by our guests are their own and not part of Sedwa. Sedwa is regulated by the ADGM Financial Services Regulatory Authority, FSRA, and DFSA. All examples are for illustrative purposes only and are not intended as one-on-one financial advice. Please keep in mind that past performance is no guarantee of future results. Additionally, investors are encouraged to do their own research and due diligence. All investing involves risk.